Welcome to Culture Bites, where we take culture theory and turn it into everyday insights. We're powered by Human Synergistics, and our mission is to change the world one organization at a time. We can only do that together with our amazing community, so thank you for listening.
Welcome to Culture Bites. My name's Dominic Gawley. I'm a consultant with Human Synergistics Australia, and I'm joined on the show this week by our Managing Director, David Byram. Hey, DB.
Hi, Dom. How are you? Great to be back in the podcast studio at Blue Street with you. It's good to be doing another episode. We've done a few recently.
We're on a roll. I had you in this time, DB, because I was thinking around this topic of how do you create and sustain change? And sometimes there's a hiss and a roar at the start. So I guess it's like, how do you create that initial spark? But how do you also sustain it over time? Because I think this is a path, not an event.
That's a great question. And I'll probably talk more from my experience today. I wouldn't say I'm the world's expert. But, you know, there's lots of good change models out there. Cotter's model, freeze, unfreeze, etc. But if I distill it down, I think one of the key things for me, and what I'll talk through is probably 8 or 9 different variables for me that really link through it. And I think the first one for me would be know where you are and know where you're going. A lot of people will talk about, we've got this change program, but really know where you are today and know where you're going. That'd be my number one. I think my number two would be then have, you're obviously looking to change, you're looking to grow, so there's a gap of some type. So know what your key priorities or actions are and focus in on them. Do not try and boil the ocean. It might be tempting to take on 10 things, but let's just take on 3 and do them really well. There's a famous quote out there, I don't know who said it, but doing 10% of 10 things is 100% of none. So really focus in on what they are. Mm. And then you've got to check. My third one would be you have to really regularly check where you are. Are we still on the right path? Are we still doing the things we need to do?
Is it effective?
Yeah. Is it working? Is it effective? Mm. And has some of the parameters changed?
Right.
So we need to adapt. I would then say you need a bit of a coalition, all right? You need ears and eyes. You need someone who's going to call out what's happening, call out what's seeing, and really be, you know, the drivers and help you support. Because you do need that coalition to help you build that. So who's your antenna? All right. Who are your internal coaches to help you? That'd be number 4. I think in line with that, I'd say build excitement and energy. All right. We know that successful change has people passionate about it. So really build some excitement, energy, passion, you know, launch, regularly talking about it, bring it up. It should be part of the topic of conversation, everything you do, which nicely leads into communication. You have to communicate, and use multiple modes of communication. Don't rely on purely email blasts, purely newsletters, purely video blogs, purely coming only from the C-suite. Get frontline, get everybody involved in the comms and build that coalition of communication across the organization to help you with the change. Then you have to talk about leaders and recognize the role that leaders play in change. And everyone's a leader and everyone should have clear expectations and responsibilities for the change. So knowing what leaders are required to do to actually help implement change. And if I give you one more as part of that creating sustaining change, I think it'd be around celebrate.
Yeah.
Right. Don't wait to the end of the journey. You know, good old achievement thinking. Have some goals, have a plan, and celebrate along the way. We might get a bit too perfectionistic, dare I say, and only celebrate at the end of the outcome and then even don't celebrate then. But what are the little wins along the way we can celebrate that we've achieved and how we keep moving forward as we go? So don't underestimate the importance of celebrating those wins as you go.
I love that, DB. Those are some excellent principles. How do we put it into our world? So if we think of, you know, specifically, I guess people listening to this podcast are probably interested in culture change, leadership, development, team development, that kind of stuff. So what does it look like, you know, to know where you are and where you're going in a culture or leadership context? What are you looking for in there?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the key to that is use good, robust diagnostics to measure where you are and where you want to be. And the beauty of the LSI diagnostic or the impact diagnostic or the culture diagnostic, you can actually get a desired state. So that's knowing where you want to be. And then obviously through self-assessment or feedback from others at individual level or the cultural expectations in the actual culture, you can get where you currently are. So, you know, having that diagnostic and pick diagnostics that you know have good academic validity and reliability. You know, the key is making sure you're getting good data, which leads to good information and knowledge. So you're wise.
Which leads to good action.
And it leads mm-hmm. to good action. So, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to be chasing the noisy aspect. So how do you actually get really good data? And look, one of the advantages of HS is we know that our diagnostics are academically bulletproof, all right? Mm. They've got high validity, high reliability. We measure what we say we're measuring, and it's linked to outcomes at an individual team and organizational level. So how you measure and where know where you are, know where you're going from a change point of view is you've got to get some data.
Yep. Yeah, I love that. And I think particularly for, you know, if I think of a change journey of like culture, the leaders being really clear on where is it that we're going, what does it actually look like? Because I think sometimes, you know, everyone's got their own idea maybe of what that looks like, but let's get clear on it together.
100%.
What does constructive look like for us in our world?
And it's a really good conversation, right? That you can
it's
do
awesome.
In a lead group. You can do it in cross-functional teams around what would bring the best out in us. How do we do this? And you can have a conversation around it and then build up what that looks like. Obviously know where you are, and then you got your gaps, which is probably a nice segue to, I think number
key
two I said was the key priorities. Let the data do the work for you.
Yeah,
is what would be my advice. Really hone in on where's the gaps are going to make the biggest impact. And we know through the correlations and the work and the analysis we do, and we're excited. We've got some new stuff coming down the pipeline around culture as well, around actually identifying really what's the biggest levers for you. So really work on those key priorities and pick two or three, all right? It might be tempting to do
them all,
but really focus on do a couple of things really, really well and you'll get change and you'll start building momentum and change. From a culture point of view, from the work we do, I would always say leadership's a big one. My bias, it would be that leadership is a pretty heavy lever to pull. And often people say, give us the top three, DB.
Uh-huh.
And I say, well, from my perspective, the top three would be leadership, communication, both upward and downward. I think upward is pretty key, right? If people feel comfortable, they can come and talk to you. So I'd go leadership, communication, and then clarity of purpose, that articulation of mission, knowing why we're doing what we do and who we're doing it for. We all want to do a good job. So if I know who I'm doing it for and I have a personal connection to who I'm doing it for and that clarity is really key, that'd be the three.
And I think that's particularly the point when, hey, maybe we've got a lot of causal factors under that halfway mark. So where do you start? You know, there's a bunch to look at, but if we can only do a couple and put our energy and effort into a few, what are the few? Those are probably the key.
Yeah, that'd be from my point of view, but really let the data do the work for you.
Yeah.
Trust the data. All right. We know the data and your employees, your associates in your organization have taken time to give you data. So use that data.
And this is where the where are you going stuff comes back in as well. Because, hey, we really want to build, you know, achievement and whatever language you put around that. But at the heart of it, it's achievement. Okay. Well, when I think achievement, I'm thinking clarity of mission, the goals I have linked to that. So I know what I'm here to achieve. I get involved, I have autonomy, I'm empowered, all
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff. So, hey, if we're on a particular achievement mission, how do we really focus on those ones and turn up that volume? Leaders who actually encourage autonomy and development and, you know, all that stuff as well.
Yeah, one of my favorite questions around achievement that I've asked for a long, long time is, how do you know you've had a good day?
Yep.
All right. And it's a great question everyone should ask themselves as they drive home or catch the train home or the bus home. How do you know you've had a good day in terms of that?
So we had the key priorities. So we talked about that. Your next one was check progress. So what does that look like?
Yeah. So I think, you know, the world's a never changing dynamic place, right? And at an organizational context level, people are entering the organization, leaving the organization. So how do you know where you're at today, right? So. And look, this is not about checking every day, all right?
Sure.
I have to admit, I'm not a fan of hitting the smiley face in the lift as you walk into the lift. Where are you today? From highly red to highly green on the smiley face in the lift as you get in the lift. But I am a fan of quarterly or 6 monthly,
right.
Knowing that you've said you're going to work on these three aspects It might be leadership, might be comms. How are you going on that? Are you moving the needle on those aspects? So what I'd encourage people to do is, you know, the favorite terminology is pulse, all right? Pulse the things you're working on, right? Are you seeing the needle move on what you're working on? And it's quick, it's short, it should be designed to be done in like 10 minutes. And it should be at an organizational level. So without getting, you don't need to go to everybody in the organization. A pulse is really a sample.
You want a feel of it, yep.
And look, with our analytics team, we can help you with that to get you data that's going to be valid and reliable at a pulse level. Because you really want to see the needles moving organizationally.
Yep.
You might want to see the needles moving at discrete teams. Obviously, the deeper you go, the more people you need to ask. But do those checks.
Are maybe we moving organizational, maybe department.
Yeah, you know. Organizational, maybe department. Are we moving the needle? That's the key around that regular checking.
Yep. Have scouts or have...
Yeah, have your scouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, someone always goes ahead, right? Someone's always helping you.
Yeah, right. They're scouting out the...
Knowing the path. Someone's always getting some information for you.
Recon.
Yeah, so how do you get those ears, those eyes, those messages come back, all right? And have them throughout the organization, all right? A little bit of, you know, your champions. We actually call them culture champions or culture coaches internally. But have those champions who are really going to be well-respected in the organization, can help build the motivation, but also send back messages around what's going on and create access for these champions through to the executive and even the board, all right? Because boards are more and more accountable. They've always been accountable, but I think they're more aware now of the accountability. So have them have access through to these champions who are the eyes and the ears or the scouts.
What are you looking for from those champions? Like, what kind of questions would you be asking them? What would you want to hear from them?
Yeah, I'd like to hear what are they seeing and what are they hearing? What behavior? And be really specific. So what are some of the trends and behaviors you're seeing? What's working? What's changed from your perspective? What are you not seeing enough of? What's not working? Build a base, I should say, to help them be scouts, they need a compass, all right? They need some knowledge. So to help them be scouts, build them really good knowledge around what great looks like and where you're going and how you're going to get there. So they know what they're looking for, all right? They're just not just going off to scout in the wilderness without having a path in front of them.
Yep. Interesting. And yeah, I guess it's interesting, the kind of scouts, people out there. Does it take a particular person? Or, because I guess there's the, are we giving the straight story without perhaps saying what leaders want to hear? Or on the other side, kind of just leading with everything that's wrong, which can happen as well.
Well, I think, you know, if I was to give you two, I think where I podcast, I gave you the word of courage a couple of weeks ago. I think what I'd say today is scouts need to be curious and courageous. All right. So scouts, they need to explore why they're seeing something and ask why that's happening. Because they can't just go back and say, I saw somebody not being collaborative or supporting.
Right.
They've got to get under the hood, right? They've got to be a bit curious.
What's going on?
But they've also got to be courageous because they're going to have to call out. They might call out some things.
Right.
And ask that question. Because you want the scouts to be the leaders of the culture you want to be, not be part of the culture you have, particularly if you're trying to create and sustain change. So build knowledge, ask them to be really open. The other thing I'd say is pick scouts that are well-respected, caring, bring that degree of credibility.
Would you ever do like informal scout? Because I guess we've talked about culture champions and stuff, but I'm thinking about the old walk by, you know, management by walking around, like... Because I think you get a lot of intelligence just by, you know, walking the floor, so to speak.
Leaders should be walking around every day.
You know, stopping and what's going on?
Yeah, leaders need to be humanistic, right? And, you know, this take away from the HS language, leaders need to be caring. They need to be supportive. Leaders need to be teachers. Leaders need to be mentors and coaches. And you get that by being and contacting people, either in a virtual world or in an office world. How do you maintain that contact? What's going on for people? All right, how are you? It's a pretty easy question to ask. You get a powerful message. How are you? What's going on for you? Yeah, and the scouts should be doing that as well as the leaders. And look, leaders are scouts by definition.
Right, yeah, fair point. Build excitement.
Absolutely. You know, what's a good analogy here? When we're going on holidays, there's a degree of excitement, right? We're going on a different path. How do you, it's like so sometimes change is not a holiday though, but it's a different destination. So how do you build that excitement, all right? Build the energy. All right. Build the clarity of everyone's role around it and talk about it with passion and excitement. As a leadership group, if you're not talking about it positively and the impact positively, others are probably not going to follow you and not want to follow you.
I've always said if there's a void of information, something fills that void.
Which will be defensive.
And it's the rumor mill. And I've never heard the rumor mill say, you know what, guys, I think this is going to be pretty good.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be great.
We'll be fine.
It never happens.
If you're a constructive culture,
It would happen. Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've got a constructive culture and there's always a void, there's always a gap, right? There's a timing and
right.
If you're constructive, the messages will be, it will be okay. It's going to be exciting. We know this organization changes regularly and it's going to be great. If it's defensive, it'll be, oh my God, what does this mean for me? And a bit more security orientated. Mm-hmm. So really drive through that comms, I would say.
And I guess here's a question for you. Because there's often a lot of excitement, you know, initially can be. So there's a lot of excitement initially. Yeah, sometimes. So on that, actually, let me take a segue. Sometimes for organizations, like there's one I'm working with where they just did a big restructure and it's about their, you know, they've got a new strategy. They're looking to the future. They're kind of restructuring in order to support that strategy. But they're also looking to then kick off the culture. But people are kind of like, ooh, like, you know, they're like unsteady, I suppose, because of that restructure that just occurred. And so sometimes it can feel like, ooh, you know, if we come in too like upbeat about, hey, we're doing all this culture stuff, will it get met with cynicism? I guess that's the concern.
Depends on your culture.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're working on it. So let me put it that way.
It's interesting, right? Organizations are under a constant level of restructure, right? It might be boxes and lines on an org chart. It might be a different way to make or distribute product.
Right.
It might be different locations. Mm-hmm. Organizations are continually adapting and growing.
Yep.
If you're standing still, someone's going past you, is what I would say. But it's your culture that allows you to do that. So it's interesting. When I hear that people lead with the org structures creating our culture, I would say it's how well you implement that structural change, whatever it is probably the best measure of your culture, right? Mm. So if you're open and receptive, you're going to have a more constructive culture. If your first reaction is more hold back, critique, be defensive, dominate, have that in area of self-interest, you're probably going to be more defensive.
Yeah.
So any change, the more constructive you can be, the better you can be, whatever it might be.
Yeah. Maintaining the excitement. That was my initial question actually was, how do you like, because I guess there's that hiss in the raw when you start off, but how do you, you know, maybe, I don't know if excitement's the right word, but how do you keep the enthusiasm? Perhaps that's a word.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's probably two parts. Part of it's to celebrate.
Yeah.
All right. There's definitely part of it to celebrate. So, which we'll talk to a little bit later on. I'm sure you'll come back to me about my last point of celebrating because I'm a big believer in celebrating. I think the other thing is consistency of message and regular messaging.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't just, which is probably going to lead to comms. I think I might have
mentioned
communication.
Yeah.
So, really maintaining it, you need to be regular in your communication.
Yeah.
You need to be really clear in your communication and it needs to be consistent.
Mm.
If it's ambiguous and it's changing, it's delayed, we're not hitting the key points that we hit last time, people are going to be confused.
Mm.
So how do I maintain it? This is what we're here to do. This is how we do it. These are the key metrics we're chasing and this is why we're doing it. Always, and look, maintaining it, I always say why.
Yep.
Why for the organization, why for the team, and why for you as an individual. Mm-hmm. Link that through.
Mm.
It's not easy, don't get me wrong, but if you get those three key points of why for you, why for the team, why for the organization, you're going to be in a better place than not.
You know, it's interesting because I think often leaders feel like, hey, we have communicated that, we have sent that out, but it's not realizing that not every message gets through exactly the way you kind of said it. And if I think of when we measure culture, if we cut it by hierarchical levels, often, generally, the executive team, high-level senior leaders will have a more constructive experience of the culture. Why? What's communication like? I'm the one saying it. It's pretty clear. But that doesn't always translate further down the organization when we start cutting it by those levels. So I guess it's just for leaders of like, you got to be the sort of chief repetition officer in a way. And even if it feels like slight overkill for you, it's probably not for everyone else.
Yeah, and you got to get it to play back. You got to ask people to play back what they think it's about. What are they hearing? what's their role. That's the only way you know that we're on the same page.
I heard someone say, your people should be able to do a good impression of you, and that's how you know that it's got through.
Yeah, it's the only way you're going to know. And, you know, there's everybody reads something differently. And there's the old F test where read the paragraph and count the number of Fs in the paragraph. And yeah, people always get, is it 5, 6, 7, 8?
Uh-huh.
Because we're not seeing every letter.
Right.
So people are not hearing every message. And there was a video clip with the counting the number of times the basketball has been passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the bear walks through the clip and no one saw the bear.
Yeah.
So it's like you really got to be really clear, consistent, ongoing, because not everybody's going to pick up everything the first time around or the second time around.
Mm.
But consistency is the key.
That's it. Recognize the role of leadership and leaders.
Absolutely. There's always someone who's the captain of a team and there's always someone who's the coach of a team.
Mm.
So, and there's players in a team. Now, at any one point in time, I might be a player, a captain, or a coach, and they'll rotate.
Yep.
So recognize the role you're playing at this point in time and recognize that someone has to set the direction, the coach, if you like, off the team. Someone's going to have to call the plays on the field, captain or senior players, and recognize your role you're playing. Those roles might change. Be very clear about what we're doing now, and so everyone knows their role they're playing. And it's okay at some time that I'm the coach. Next week, I might be a player.
Mm.
I know in my role with our team here, sometimes I might make a coaching call. Sometimes I'm just a player in the team and someone else is making the coaching call and setting the direction. And that's the beauty of being agile with our leadership.
And I think as well, it goes back to on another podcast, we were talking about this. You know, to change culture and sustainably change, it takes leadership, not necessarily the title, but leadership to stand apart from the current culture.
100%. And we did talk about it. It does take you to be a bit different, right?
Mm.
If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got.
Right.
So you need to be a bit different, right? And if we go back to the analysis we talked about earlier, know where you are, if it points out that it's around consideration or helping people do their job, it gives you really good insights into, okay, what do I need to do differently as a leader?
Mm.
And link back into your own LSI as well.
Mm.
You know, the LSI, and I'll say this from an unbiased point of view, but it will sound biased, is no doubt the only diagnostic that has long-term validity, reliability to give you insight to help you change, right? And it links to your satisfaction at work, home, and play, and it also links into your individual effectiveness as perceived by you and others. Look, full credit back to the original research that was built by Clay. It is bulletproof.
Mm.
I first did mine a long, long time ago now, 35 years I think it is now. It is very, very powerful.
Last one, celebrate. What does that look like in the kind of culture change, leadership change context?
I think you've got to acknowledge the wins as you go along the way.
Mm.
All right. What are those points? What are those things we're checking off? Because sometimes it's a big project, right? And it could be an event you're running and you build up to a big event.
Mm.
And the event runs, and it runs really well.
Woo-hoo.
But there are a lot of steps along the way. So how do you acknowledge all those things along the way?
Mm.
You know, and ideally, you want to celebrate every day, all right? And this comes back to my question, how do people know they've had a good day? So what's the wins they're getting as they're going along?
Mm.
Because you'll see, and, you know, I almost say our conference. We run our annual conference. We're coming back this year, Dom, back face-to-face again in end of August and September. Dates are out. And don't ask me what. I think September the 6th in Sydney. I think it's August 20-something in 28th in Melbourne. But check the website for that. Our team put a lot of effort into that, an immense amount of effort. But if you celebrate just at the end, it's a one-off celebration.
Mm.
And you've got to maintain the momentum. So we're celebrating as we go along the line now, as we engage speakers, as we lock down venues, as we work out how we're going to promote and advertise the conference. They're all moments of celebration. So pick those moments of celebration and take joy in them because you are moving towards a greater goal.
I was actually just talking to a client yesterday and I thought
they speak a conference
to be determined. And they were shared a cool story though, which was basically they've done a lot of LSIs across, I think everyone has done an LSI, and they asked for nominations of people who had demonstrated great progress. Right. And what I liked about it, one, it was nominated by someone else and it wasn't just DB. It was, you had to actually write a reason, like what have you seen them do kind of stuff. But what I liked about it, it wasn't just nominate people who are super constructive. It was nominate people who have put in an effort.
Brilliant.
You know, and I like that because it's like, hey, DB might not be all the way there yet, as an example.
Definitely not all the way there yet, Tom.
But we can see he's really been trying, and that's awesome. And so it's celebrating that as well. So it's not just, hey, you know, Nirvana, but we can see the effort that's been put in and we can see the differences. And it asked people for those, you know, give me an example. So they had to put that in. I just thought that was really cool.
Oh, look, absolutely. You know, pick those wins, right? There's always wins. Mm. And celebrate them, right? Because it creates more energy, all right? And people can see, actually, I'm making a difference.
And actually, it's part of the causal factors, if we go back into culture, is celebrate success, you know, linked to the mission, vision, values, you know, and clearly link it to those things.
Yeah, and it's a key question, right? We regularly celebrate, all right? And that's an important part, right? And they don't have to be big things. You know, one of the things we do know is that recognition from my immediate leader. Just the thank you. I saw you did this, or I like the way you did this. Mm. But it was thank you. So that immediate recognition is very powerful.
I reckon a lot of leaders undervalue how much their recognition means to their team members.
Oh, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
You know, it goes a lot further than they think.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you're going to extend that, it's the handwritten note.
Yep.
All right. It's the little thank you card you might send. It's powerful messaging. So celebrate those wins is what I would say. And if you do that, you're going to be at least on a better path to create and sustain change in your organization.
Awesome. Thanks, DB. Those are some great principles, great tips for anyone out there around creating and sustaining that change. So thank you for sharing those with us today.
The view from DB's lens. Great to be with you again, Dom. It's great to do some podcasting. It's great to have a little bit of space so I can do some podcasting, think about the future and celebrate some of the wins we're having at HS. We have launched LSI Plus, and let me tell everybody, it's been a great celebration. So it's awesome. Thanks, Tom.
That's it. Thanks, DB.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Culture Bites. If you enjoy the show, remember to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, leave us a review. It helps other people to find the show. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, email podcast@human-synergistics.com.au. We'd love to answer it. This podcast is copyrighted by Human Synergistics Australia, all rights reserved. To learn more about what we do, visit human-synergistics.com.au.